Wednesday edition, Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the... Josh, you just flicked me in the back of the head, and I got to be honest, it didn't feel good. What's the name of the show now? I'm concussed. Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe. That's Josh DiMaggio. Will Summers here in the Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Producer Hunter Vaughn back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. What a day it's been. What a day it will be here in Milwaukee. We start with, obviously, beautiful day for a show. Beautiful day to do this, to do what we do. Chef Ed just stopped by with a present for me. Not exactly sure what that is yet, but thank you to Chef Ed, one of our loyal listeners. We had a different loyal listener, the wife of a loyal listener, if I'm not mistaken, Joshy, run into you today.
Yeah, we had some guests here in the studio. We were doing a little double time. I don't know if I can announce it, so I'm not going to. But I got a shout out, Alex and Taylor, who I was approached by her. She came up to me and said, I have to say hello.
So her is Alex or her is Taylor?
I believe her is Alex.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. But Alex and Taylor are both listeners to this very here program. They mentioned Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, KBN, even Scalzo and Bruss dating back. So
oh, wow.
Loyal big listeners, big fans. She said hi. I was very pleased to hear that. It's good to see the MIA in flesh out there.
Oh, yeah, the MIA.
Yeah, so MIA representing strong, so shout out to them. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sticking with us.
Thanks for sticking with us, indeed. Despite all the nonsense, and we're going to get into plenty more today. Nonsense, that is, because, big day for me. Lifelong bucket list stuff occurring today. I've always wanted to throw out a first pitch. Today that happens. Lakeshore Chinooks, Green Bay Rockers, 6:35 p.m. Capco Stadium in Mequon. I will throw out the first pitch about 6:30. I'm feeling the pressure. You know, I'm talking to people. They're asking me, did I warm up? I probably should have warmed up. Now, Will, obviously, is a former college baseball player. I was talking to another former college baseball, Division I baseball player, yesterday. So a little bit better than Will. Ouch. And he said, Strofe, I think the biggest mistake you've made is you haven't thrown a baseball in years.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, but here's the thing. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to throw a frickin' rocket. It's going to be a strike down the pipe. And everybody's going to be impressed.
That's not going to happen.
So what do we think the betting odds are of strike versus ball?
I think you're plus 550 to throw a strike.
Holy smokes.
I don't think you're going to get close to throwing a strike.
What do you think I'm going to do? What's your official prediction?
I think you're going to be high and outside.
High and outside?
Yep.
But which side is outside
arm
if there's
side.
No batter?
Arm side. I don't think you'll go...
I'm right-handed, so to the
yes,
right?
Yes, you'll be to the right. You're not going to know the mound. You're not going to know where you need to release the ball. Are you throwing from the rubber or in front?
I would prefer to throw from the rubber. They may tell me I'm not able to.
You should just do it anyways. What are they going to do?
Kick me out.
Before you throw it? Probably not.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point by you.
So what do you do? What do you lose there? The Chinooks won't invite you back?
Well, I'd like to maintain a relationship.
I don't think they're going to have don't let this guy in if you throw from the rubber.
Okay.
I got to be honest.
Will, you played collegiate baseball on this field.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to know?
It's a clay mound.
Okay.
It's pretty well taken care of. I'm not sure how they do it in the summer.
Yeah, what does that mean? What's a clay mound?
That's just the type of dirt. It's a little It's a little thicker.
Oh, okay.
Is that
good or bad for me?
It depends. I mean, you're not going to be wearing cleats, I assume, so no dirt.
No, I will be wearing the shoes I'm wearing, which are, Nike Pandas.
You should go barefoot.
If it's a little slick, you might slide a little bit.
Well, hold on. I don't hate the barefoot idea.
They might not let you out there.
Probably not.
That'd be gross.
Dogs out.
I don't own like a onesie or any fun costumes.
You don't need to do that.
Why was onesie the first thing that popped in your head?
He's looking like to be
not
sticky.
A baseball jersey.
But yeah, I was onesie? Thinking sticky. I don't know. Do you own any Chinooks gear?
I do not.
Okay,
never played for them.
I know, but playing on the field maybe acquired.
If you
a
did
hat.
Anything, I would prefer you to be full uniform with the stirrups.
What do you have for? What do you have for uniforms I could borrow?
I have a pair of pants with a massive hole in them.
Where's the hole?
Right by the knee.
Okay.
And on the rear end.
What about a jersey? Two. You got a jersey?
I have a White Sox jersey. A couple of them. Okay. I have my
you
summer
should
league.
See if they'll adorn you in some leftover gear.
I'll ask.
Yeah,
when
you
I
can
get
definitely
there.
Borrow yeah. one. I'm sure we'll if ask. You ask. Have,
I mean, I'm going
don't
there.
Don't you get a shirt as a first pitch? Isn't that
I did
customary?
Not. I didn't build in anything. I don't know. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I think I'm that's usually how it goes.
I'm going to show up. I don't know if they're giving me like a Chinooks.
I know they have a pro shop there.
They do.
I would imagine there's a Chinooks jersey, and they might not let you keep it, but I imagine they let you wear one.
That would be sick.
Yeah.
I'll probably ask.
Yeah, I mean, what are the worst they say is no. Okay. Whoops.
I want to look good. And the thing I'm confident in is I'm not going to 50 cent it.
How many film are we going to have multiple angles?
I would guess so. Will.
I would love somebody behind home plate and behind the pitcher's mound.
Okay, so Will is planning on being there.
I'm going to do my best to get there in time.
Ben Brust will be there. Kyle Wallace will be yep. there. My girlfriend will be there.
Yep.
And then Maddie, our social media coordinator, Maddie Hayes, will be there. And I know, obviously, she'll be filming me.
Uh-huh.
I would guess if Will is there in time, he'll be filming me. And then they may put somebody in charge of filming Kyle, Ben, and my girlfriend.
Yeah, I imagine your plus 550 for a strike.
That's offensive.
Minus 200 to completely miss the person catching it, where they are not able to get out of their stance, and it goes either slides over their head so much they can't reach it, or it's way too errant.
You think it's going to be that bad?
I mean, Strofe, we've watched you run the 40.
Yes.
We've watched you do all
Here's
that.
The thing, though.
What was the last time you threw a baseball?
I'll get to that in a moment.
Have you ever been a pitcher?
No. Have I pitched, though, is a different
this
answer.
The
answer is yes, I have pitched, but I've never been like a full-blown pitcher.
That yeah, in the backyard you threw some.
The thing about the combine video that obviously has defined my life the last several months is there was no quarterback drills. There was no I have a good arm.
I think they all go worse for you if you involve extra implements.
See, I think I can make it better.
I think you running routes and having somebody throw a football at you
that's next year.
Goes chaotic. We're talking potential balls off the forehead, stumbling all over our own feet. Like, the fact you haven't even picked up a baseball and made a throw. I've been throwing more, and I haven't been doing throwing, but I throw tennis balls to my dog for fetch. And
Well, I do that.
I'll giddy up and give those things a good heave-ho.
I do that. Play catch with the pup.
I mean, you guys got a little teacup. Little thing.
She is tiny, yeah.
Yeah.
Up to 13 pounds.
Yeah.
She's gaining some weight.
What is the distance of your throws? 10, 15 yards typically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is, how many feet is mound to plate?
60 feet, 6 inches.
Look at you, knowledge. 60 feet, so that's 20 yards.
Good math.
That's right, right?
How many feet are there in a yard?
3.
Yep.
So 20, divided by 3 is 20.
Yeah.
So it's 20 yards. Okay, that's a little bit further than I expected.
Yeah. And it's a mound.
It feels like
people underrate how different it is throwing from flat ground
to
throwing
on
a mound.
But you think it's more likely I don't even hit the catcher than it is I bounce it in?
No, I think there's a chance you bounce it in the person, because they usually have a baseball player as the catcher.
Right.
And they can usually get you on a one hop because you're throwing it at like 40, 50 miles per hour.
I'm going to throw this thing as hard as I can. I want everybody to know that.
Then if that's your
He's
intention,
bouncing it in.
you are minus 250 to like minus 500 to not throw a strike.
I have to throw it as hard as I can, right?
Like, I would suggest not.
What's etiquette? What's first pitch etiquette? I guess
just
I don't
get
know.
It over the
it's
plate.
Just kind of lob it in there.
Yeah. Just get the but goal. I'm not
Lollipop
lobbing it.
It.
But that's a cop-out, isn't it?
You've made it one. So do you know how, like, do you have a wind-up?
Stand yeah, up and you want to see it?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna walk to the mound, and yep. this—I do think I'm gonna do this. I might wuss out, but I think this is my plan. I'm gonna walk to the mound. I'm gonna kind of dig my foot in, right?
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm gonna hold up the ball. I'm gonna look at the catcher. I'm gonna shake him off a few times.
Oh, jeez.
And then I'm gonna select the pitch I like. I'm gonna spit.
Don't spit.
Balk.
What do you mean balk? I haven't moved yet.
You came set, and then you rocked.
Yeah,
it's a balk.
Yep.
Have I rocked?
Yeah, you rocked
you
back.
Spit. You balked. fuck.
Your hands make oh, mean you're set.
Okay. So. And now, set, leg up, leg forward, boom.
That's throwing from the stretch.
You didn't even check the runners either.
But there's no runners. It's the first pitch.
Then why are you in the stretch?
Well, you're shaking off the catcher who's also not giving you signs.
Yeah, but that was more a comedic thing, I was thinking. I thought the crowd would kick out of that. But wouldn't
checking a runner, like, over your, you know.
Oh, that's good. So, like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe look at second.
Yeah.
Strofe, I'm going to be honest here.
That's thrown from the stretch, by the way.
Having gone to a number of Mallards games who play in the same league, the fans there are just going to be like, dude, like, let's just get to the game. Like, you're going to lose the crowd the more you try to be funny.
But what about, like, the six people that are there for me?
This is a thing I often have to try and get you away from.
This is what?
You do sometimes a show for just you. Or sometimes just the people in the room with you. You have a tendency to get lost in the sauce. Next thing you know, no one else is having as much fun as you are.
Yeah, but that's kind of how my life works, though, Josh, you know? Like,
right.
But yeah, and we're trying to save you.
I feel like it's Hunter and I's job to limit those things, because sometimes they are comedic and worth us going over.
I think maybe we should rebrand the show. Nobody Has More Fun podcast.
No. That's not great.
Nah, I
could
don't
use
like
some
it.
Work.
Boo.
There. So you are exemplifying one of the things I not too long ago stressed of making it all about yourself, which in this situation, throwing out the first pitch sort of is.
Yeah.
Inside of that is the understanding it is about you in that moment.
Correct.
But you, because you're you, are going to somehow take something. Everyone's focus is going to be on you, and you're going to be up there for longer doing more things, making sure even more people are paying attention.
I mean, so the correct thing would be go up there, get it done, get out.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It's like what I say about maid of honor and best man speeches. Nobody's ever said, wow, that speech was too short.
That's true.
You might get some haters if you're up there making a big point out of it. But if you are doing the whole, if you just go up there, deliver the pitch, like the best content for us is you not coming close.
Yeah.
And potentially taking out some of the people filming, like that's the best content. Well, if you throw a strike, it's going to be disappointing.
Even just the content, even if Strofe goes out there and shocks the world, that's still solid content. Like the content is your throw, Strofe. Don't make it about everything else. We want to see the throw. Okay. That's why we're there. That's why people are filming you. So just get there, do your job, and get out.
Two tips. Do not spit on the mound. Do not dig your feet in.
Okay.
Baseball parks and pitchers take the mound and its condition very seriously.
So don't mess with it.
I would not mess with it.
Okay, got it.
So that's why they typically tell you not to go on the mound. But if you just go on the mound and throw a pitch, you'll be fine.
Okay.
So, but the dig your foot in and all that, not so
okay, too much. Got yeah. it. Got yeah. it. I will take that advice into account. Thank you.
The league that the Chinooks are in, like, has been produced, like, actual MLB players. Like, it's legit.
Yes.
I would just love to see Strofe do that. And then 10 years down the road, he's at AmFam Field and he's in the clubhouse talking to some pitcher. And he's like, hey, you're the idiot that dug in and like ruined the mound for me. Uh-huh. And this guy just had a vendetta against you for decades then. I would love to see that. Uh-huh. That would be incredible.
Hunter's brain works in mysterious ways.
What?
That is quite a brain. It's quite a brain you have.
I mean, I knew a guy that almost had Dansby Swanson throwing hands at him in the clubhouse because he asked him about an error he didn't commit. So baseball players are weird.
That's true.
So I think I was right on base with thinking that could happen.
The only like interaction I've ever had like that was at a state wrestling tournament. I asked a wrestler who was warned for stalling.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up losing and being eliminated from the tournament. And I said, hey, what happened on the stalling call? And he like kind of squared up and got in my face. And he was like, I didn't get called for stalling. I said, no, but you were warned. And I had to cut my interview. Like I had to turn off the clip and I'm like, hey man, I'm just trying to understand what happened in the match. I'm not saying you did anything wrong.
Did he then calm down?
No, he then walked away.
Now
this was during the era where I was I was like, I was in high school. I was like 17. So I knew the guy. We didn't like each other. Well, he didn't like me. I didn't have an issue with him.
Yeah. I could see how that could happen.
Yeah. And then that was it. And then he didn't get a very long article in the paper that week.
Hey, too bad.
So there's that. So anyway, all right, that's
showbiz,
that story,
baby.
All right, before we move on, I want to get official predictions because I think this will be a good thing to throw in the social media clip that we post later today or early tomorrow. Josh DiMaggio, your official Alex Stroh first pitch prediction is?
You are closer to throwing it outside of the right-handed batting box than you are to a strike.
Okay. Will Summers, your prediction?
This is if everything goes good for you. I think you miss low. If you try to heat it in there, like a lot of famous first pitchers do, no one ever remembers the ones that throw strikes. They remember the ones that are thrown hard.
So you think I bounce it in?
Yeah.
Okay. Hunter, your prediction?
Doesn't even make it back to the dirt. You spike it into the grass.
That is not very nice.
Spiking is very common.
Yeah, if I go hard and I like
a lay. Because you try and throw it too hard, the ball sticks your hand a little long.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I imagine when I'm getting ready, because I know there's other first pitches happening. I'm not a solo first pitch.
Yep.
I know I'll be sitting there for a minute, and the adrenaline's going to start pumping, and the nerves are going to kick in.
And you aren't going to take any practice tosses beforehand.
Unless I have the opportunity to, but I don't own a glove, so it's not like I'm bringing a glove to this game. What are you giggling
at? It's not going to work for you.
I have a glove I could bring you.
No. Now he has to.
No, I think I have to. I'm with Josh on this.
Yeah. You're too far along.
I try to bring a glove to most baseball games I go to, just in case.
You're too old for that.
In case you get out there.
In case I get a foul ball.
You can't. Once you are old enough to drive yourself to a baseball game, you can't wear a glove into the
game. I think that's a good take. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good take. Do you bring, if you go to a Brewers game, are you bringing a glove?
I always forget, but I always am mad at myself for forgetting. If I had perfect memory, I would bring one every time.
I don't believe him.
If I had perfect memory, he says.
Why don't you just keep it in your car?
Well, now I have it. But usually I'm not the one driving.
No, you're the one boozing.
Or taking the shuttle. Come on.
Come on, he says.
Yeah, right. That's fair.
Good stuff. Okay, let's get to this because this, middle of the off-season content, but it did kind of trigger my brain because when you think of the reaction we get, whether that's on YouTube or on the text line or on Twitter or TikTok, which, by the way, Bears fans not happy with me on the TikTok app right now.
It's great.
Tell you what.
I won't lie. I was liking all the comments defending the Bears.
Were you?
Yeah.
I liked a few of them. There were some really good ones. Somebody called me, because in the clip, this is from Monday's show, reacting to some of the things Caleb Williams said about the Packers over the weekend. I said somewhere in my little tangent there, or excuse me, diatribe. Yep, diatribe. Jinx. I said that the Bears are a much inferior franchise and that Summer Smash, where Caleb Williams was sang F Green Bay, was a much inferior music festival to Summerfest.
Yep.
Somebody commented, you are intellectually inferior, which... I have a hard time arguing.
You see, you I'm not going to get an argument from me there.
I responded to the comment. This is my favorite comment. Yeah, I mean, tough to argue that one.
So I'm looking at our the rundown here.
Yeah,
I don't take part in the rundown meetings that happen.
Sure, you're more than welcome to. By the way,
yeah, I'm good.
Then you can't. Stop. No. I'm not letting this happen.
The fact there's no Aaron Rodgers here is crazy to me.
No.
Why?
He announced this is it.
That's not what he said. He said it's likely it.
Like, yeah, which is digestible and discussable in and of itself.
Yeah, but
no,
like,
Josh doesn't get to do this.
Discuss it.
Josh doesn't get to pass on the meeting.
You can't stop me.
No, you don't get to pass on the meeting and then criticize what we choose to talk about. If you want to,
it's a fair point.
If you want to have a say in what gets talked about, join the meeting.
The first time I've been invited was on the air about 30 seconds ago.
Oh, stop it.
You would have never come. Stop it.
You stand back there and bug me, come in huffing and puffing and out of breath for God knows what reason. You could just take the meeting while I'm sitting there. You could.
It's true. I could. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to bother you. You seem busy.
I am.
You do complain about him bothering you, so you should take it as a compliment that he's trying not to.
Hey, you think I'm such a nuisance. What do you want me to say about Aaron Rodgers? It's going to be his last season. I'm going to watch his games. I was going to do that anyway. Good luck.
Cool. I think it was interesting. He announced it in the most Aaron Rodgers way, where I'm not going to make a big deal about it, but I'm going to do it on the biggest possible platform ever. And then I'm also going to get a retirement tour for my whole last season.
But in fairness, you know, I don't often, the thing I found much more interesting about his appearance on the Pat McAfee show was talking about his privacy.
The sanctimonious approach he took to addressing, why are people so interested in my personal life?
Right.
When it's like, well, you're one of the biggest stars in all sports, and congrats to you for that, but you also elected to show up to camp with a wedding ring on that you had never previously worn.
Right.
You didn't have to wear that.
You didn't have to do that. If you're playing football. How many football players wear wedding rings?
Right. If your privacy was so important to you,
That's the part I found more interesting. I mean, it wasn't a shock, I don't think, to anybody that this is likely going to be Rodgers' last season.
The piece, and not a lot of people have attached to this, but the season of fun, love, and peace is not really how I would approach an NFL season.
I mean,
I don't know if I was his teammate, like a Cam Hayward, for instance, a guy who's out there like grinding in the trenches. He takes Steeler football dead serious, and he's sacrificing.
Not a lot of love, not a lot of peace.
I don't think he's ever thought, I'm going to approach this season with fun, love, and peace.
Yeah, that's a fair point by you. I that's how I approach life. You know, fun, love, and peace.
I think it's a perfectly good salvo to live by.
But I'm also not a quarterback of an NFL team.
Right. Right. I don't have a super freak on the edge coming to rip my head off.
Yeah. This is also like the Steelers are the franchise that had Mean Joe Green and James Harrison, right, who's like, I'm gonna take their souls. Like, right. weird right. Branding shift for the Steelers now. Fun, love, and peace.
I like it. Hey, man. Fun, love, and peace.
I do find it interesting.
Need more of that in the world.
He also, I think he gave up, and I've gotten some pushback from saying this, but the Steelers was such a deliberate choice for him to go out what he's going to say as on top, which will be, you know, 9-10 wins, a first-round exit in the playoffs. Like, he's drafting off of established success to try and go out on top in his manner. And he mentioned that in his most likely, this is it for me.
Yeah.
Which was that set up? That question?
Yes.
It felt like it, didn't it? The way,
well, what do you mean? Was it set up?
The way Boston Connor was the one who asked, and because I don't know if they're really asking him that question regularly. It seemed like...
No, I think it was about the one-year deal, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was put out there for him to say that, which was limping in.
So like, you think they lobbed him a softball?
I think what, he told them friends? He planned
no,
to say that.
Never.
Yeah, I think it was a plan for him to announce that on that program.
Yeah, I mean, and that
at
makes
the,
sense.
At that time.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah.
And we'll they see. Gave it to the obvious choice, the Steelers fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that seemed to marry pretty nicely.
Yeah, whatever. Showbiz, baby. Okay, that's Aaron Rodgers.
He's
talk.
An authenticity guy, though.
I'm done with you. I'm not talking anymore about Aaron Rodgers.
Such a straight shooter.
Joshy.
Did he talk about COVID at all? I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
I didn't watch the whole thing.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
I just don't care.
Next.
Thank you, Will.
What was the thing
Stop.
I said to you when you asked me about it?
I don't know.
I think, was it, I called him a vanquished rival?
That is what you
yeah,
called him, yes.
And I feel apathetic. Vanquished. Maybe I'm going to start vanquishing more things and people. I'm vindicated and vanquished.
I can't control this guy today.
Matt LaFleur?
That's what I wanted to get to.
I think I'm glad we went there.
All right, Pro Football Network ranking 32 NFL head coaches entering 2025. Also ranking the 32 play callers. Matt LaFleur, top 10 in both. Head coaches, he's ninth. Play callers, he's fifth. But as I think back to the end of the season, the playoff game against Philadelphia, and a lot of the reaction from Packers fans is I don't think 100% of the fan base is a true Matt LaFleur believer. In fact, I'm not even sure 80% of the fan base is fully bought in on Matt LaFleur as the head coach of this team. I am. I am a Matt LaFleur believer. I think he's one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. I think what he's been able to do with, you know, Malik Willis being one part of it, but obviously with Jordan Love to rebuild this team, the rebuilding of this team and able to maximize some of the talents of these young players deserves a ton of credit. And, you know, he's one of the best head coaches and in fact, one of the longest tenured head coaches to not even appear in a Super Bowl yet as he enters another season here in 2025. But he is still viewed league-wide, seemingly, as a top 10 head coach, and even in some lists, a top 5 play caller, top 5 head coach, however you want to rank it. I guess I kind of just want to do a temperature check. Because where are we at now here in the middle of the offseason, about a month away from the start of training camp? Where are we at on Matt LaFleur? Are Packer fans feeling okay about Matt LaFleur as the head coach of this team? Are we feeling confident about him? Or is there doubt surrounding Matt LaFleur as the head coach of the Packers? I'd be curious on where Packers fans are at on that. So you can comment below, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, or tweet in, text in, however you want to get into the show, 800-990-3776. I'm intrigued by some of the reaction and some of the thoughts surrounding the head coach. Because I don't know what he's done. And certainly, you know, there's been times in big moments, thinking back to some of the NFC Championship games and some of the playoff games, where he's had some questionable play calls. And maybe situationally, you know, didn't take the time out at the right time, or obviously the challenges, we know he's not always so great at those. But all in all, I have full confidence in Matt LaFleur as the head coach of the Packers, and I do think he is the guy, if they are to get to a Super Bowl in the near future, to lead them there. Joshy, curious on where you're at with Matt LaFleur, because, I mean, you see it, right? Every day we get texts and calls and YouTube comments and tweets of people kind of lacking trust in Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I think it's foolish. I certainly would put more questions on his head coaching ability than his play calling ability. I think he's proven to be one of the better minds in scheming offensive football and getting the best out of many of his guys. I think the Malik Willis 2 games is enough to tell you this guy has a special ability to elevate his team on offense, maybe more so than even the sum of all the parts. Like he is an elevator in terms of that. The one place I think there's value, and I agree with people questioning him, is sometimes his behavior and his ability to handle difficult things and moments. We've seen it multiple times. We've seen where's the list start? His unhappiness with playing overseas, his reaction to David Bakhtiari, his reaction to Jair Alexander. The things that he's brought attention to based on his behavior that probably a more well-suited or more well-prepared head coach would handle probably better. I think on the sidelines, he, instead of being a calming presence, can often cause things to spiral and elevate out of control. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, when you boil it all down, pros and cons, he's a better head coach than most, and he's worthy of his spot in the top 10. He's not a perfect head coach, but I don't for a moment question, if he becomes available, him being the number one candidate on almost everyone's list.
Agreed.
Save for whatever reason, a Kyle Shanahan getting surprise fired, or a John Harbaugh. One of those scenarios where it's like almost impossible to happen. I don't think there's any scenario where he would get fired and then not be the most requested interview of all the teams looking for head coaches.
Yeah, I fully agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, I think 32 teams would take him as their offensive coordinator and play caller tomorrow, right?
Yes.
I mean,
well, except for probably.
Well,
there's two that I would say for sure.
McVay, Shanahan.
And then Reed.
And Reed,
but they have an offensive coordinator, but he still kind of rules.
Yeah, but like think about Bieniemy, right? Bieniemy wasn't the play caller there. He goes to Washington, he stinks, and now he's like, isn't he like a running backs coach somewhere now?
He's
for the Bears.
Is he with the Bears?
He was in college too.
Yeah, he might have spent
prior
a year.
I think he was at Washington.
Yeah,
Bieniemy. He went to UCLA.
UCLA.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, like you think about him. As a guy that was touted, kind of Ben Johnson-esque, right? He was for several years the big name and viewed as this genius offensive mind. And he only lasts a year as an offensive coordinator in Washington. And now he's down to a running backs coach in the NFL in Chicago, which I didn't realize. But that's the name that comes to mind when you think of all those guys. So, yeah, we'll see. I think the LaFleur factor, though, is the guy's a really damn good head coach, and he's a damn good play caller.
When you look at the If you track all of the coaches to where they are at his point in the career, his winning percentage is amongst the highest of all those guys.
Aaron Rodgers' factor helps. I'm not going to disagree with that, but I think also let's keep in mind how Matt LaFleur helped rejuvenate Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, yes.
Despite some miscommunications between the two of them.
Those two MVPs I don't think happen with Mike McCarthy as they do with Matt LaFleur. So there is credit to be due there. There's certainly he has to win the big game, and until he does, the question marks are going to remain there. With the way I've seen some people respond and talk about Matt LaFleur, I don't think a Super Bowl would even make them happy. It's like my grandfather who has wanted to fire Pat Murphy now for 2 years, despite the Brewers being very good.
Why does he want to do that?
He says they bunt too much. So
that's so sweet.
And apply that to people talking about Matt LaFleur. They've got one thing that's really hangs them up, and they can't get past it despite the obvious other benefits that come with them.
Wait, your grandfather? I'm sorry, I'm hooked on this now.
Yes,
your grandfather wants to fire Pat Murphy.
He has since last season.
So since council left, effectively.
Yes. I got the first call about firing him when the Brewers were like really hot and clearly going to win the NL Central. This was like middle of the season last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people fall in love with the take.
Can we?
And they just don't let go.
Yeah.
We don't have to have Grandpa DiMaggio like on video or anything like that, but like I feel like we need like audio of his take, or if we can get him to call in, I feel like that'd be great. We got to get a Pat Murphy conversation.
I'm sure he would be more than happy to have a recorded conversation that we air, because he calls me weekly or bi-weekly just to give me his most recent sports takes. They can be wide-ranging. They could be talking about anything. They primarily focus Brewers and Badgers. Those are his two main loves.
Oh, okay.
We will get on occasion some Packers. I'm not so sure he's totally anti-Fickle. I think he's suspicious. He still hates Gary Anderson, which is a great grudge.
I love that. Blames Gary Anderson for the shortcomings.
Hates Gary Anderson. And I don't think he's fond of Burt Bielema either anymore.
They still call him Burt?
That's me doing them. But yeah, I hear about the former coaches a lot for different programs, and he's always keeping an eye on. He's listening to generally 94.5, and then he loves to tune in to keep tabs on what the people in Chicago are saying.
Oh,
okay. Last week, he victory lapped... how high he was on Pete Crow Armstrong, and that he said he could be an MVP before anyone else was.
Did he say that?
He did, in fact, to me. Said it very early in the season.
He's a good player.
Yeah. I mean, kind of.
Except for when he forgets how many outs there are.
Yeah.
That's true.
He's tough.
It's true. Sal Frelick's been having a rough go since we launched this All-Star complaint.
Did we jinx him?
I mean, I think I did.
Do you want me to take it down?
I don't think he has a hit since we've done that. It's now they're about to get going, so he'll be up to bat. I mean, game starts in 6 minutes. He'll be up to bat in probably eight, given the pitching matchup at AmFam Field today between Paul Skeens and Jacob Mizorowski, which is, by God, I mean, it's the best pitching matchup imaginable right now in the MLB. You've got, obviously, Paul Skeens, who is a phenom, right? He's the best young pitcher in baseball, coming off his rookie season, just a terrific year for him, winning Rookie of the Year. He was an all-star starter last year, probably will be again this year for the NL. He's that good. I mean, he's just unbelievable. Mizorowski, on the other hand, is two starts in the bag and has allowed one hit. You know, he's throwing 101, 102, 100 miles an hour consistently. And I think what you're going to see today at AmFam Field is either one of two things. Number one, it's going to be completely underwhelming from the defensive standpoint, and the bats are going to get going, and Skeens and Miz both have a bad day because this matchup has been so hyped up. Or you are going to see how good these two guys are. I just saw Dom Catroni, our friend from 620 WTMJ, who covers the Brewers, said according to StatCast, in the StatCast era, the most amount of 100-mile-an-hour pitches in a game is 54. That has to get beaten today, I would guess, right? You've got two guys that can throw that and throw that well.
So I have a feeling that we might see that broken today.
We could math that out here. If you figure what? These guys are probably going to throw 15 to 20 pitches in their innings. So for the easy math, we go 20. So we got 40 pitches in the first inning. I mean, with the way these guys throw, I think by the second out of the top of the third inning, we break that record. That's how quickly I think this happens today.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that quick, but I think it could be really fast.
Is FanDuel not on YouTube TV?
I don't believe
it. It is not. As a YouTube TV guy, got to pay for FanDuel so the wife and I can watch the Bucks.
That's actually also what I do. Yeah, I pay for FanDuel separately.
It's tough.
Yeah,
also pay for YouTube TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bills are expensive, by the way, I might add.
Yeah.
Oh, are they?
Adulting's tough.
Anything else you want to discuss?
Yeah.
Do you guys know the
doctor's
sky's
appointment's
blue?
More complicated.
What are your thoughts on war with Iran?
Stop it. Stop it. We're not going there.
I was just wondering.
We can save that conversation for after the show if you'd like. I do have thoughts. I'm just. This is not the place for that.
You opened the door.
That door was completely closed. You smashed through the door.
You gave me a crack.
All right. Well, enjoy the Brewers game, which starts here in just a few minutes. Coming up next, we get to Will Summers. Every Wednesday, he does his weekend review, midweek weekend review. He makes puns. He does his Chris Berman impression. I don't know what the theme is this week. You haven't told me, so I'm looking forward to this. It's time now for Will's Weekend Review.
Yeah, as you guys know, big music festival going on in Milwaukee. You guys did a live show on Saturday. I believe it's called Summerfest.
Hell yeah,
brother. Much superior to Summer Smash.
So we did some Summerfest theme reads. We intertwined some of the songs, some of the bands. So
wow, the songs.
Yeah, Hunter, hit it.
Tashi always loves when Will says Hunter hit it.
The Oklahoma City Thunder won Game 7 of the NBA Finals, crowning them as NBA champions. Now, winning a championship entails a couple of responsibilities for a team, right? One, you need to get championship rings James Taylor to fit on your finger. You need to have a parade surrounded by good neighbors in your city. And three, you must celebrate by drinking some Ginuwine. The Thunder went against the Currington rule of rule number three by proving that they may not be good at drinking beer. Kevin Durant has made playing for multiple teams look young, grave, easy as he was traded to the Rockets over the weekend.
Young, grave, easy?
While some people thought he'd get traded to Ian DeOregan to play for the Portland Trailblazers, he was ultimately dealt to Houston. It'll be interesting to see if Durant can be George Thorough good for a young Rockets team on the rise. What? Paul Skeens and Jacob Mizorowski face off in what could be the early frontrunner for pitching matchup of the year. Both pitchers' prowess, great word by me, on the mound makes it a guarantee that they will both be Lindsay's swirling, fantastic starts. I am personally excited to watch them spin it like DJ Shauna. Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show yesterday and said he's pretty sure this season with the Steelers will be his last. Rodgers' one-year deal is worth over $13 million, making his pockets full of sunshine. But despite his reputation of using these words to be very clear with the world about his future, it's safe to say Aaron Rodgers' career may still be unwritten. With your Will's Week in Review, I'm Will Summers.
Oh, he changed the tag at the end.
I think he forgot what the tag was.
I deleted it off my notes, so I forgot what it was.
Speaking of your notes, you're going to a wedding this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
First wedding you've gone to as an adult, if I'm not mistaken.
Indeed.
A college friend of yours is getting married. You showed me and Josh yesterday a notes app list you have.
Yeah, I was kind of anxious on some.
Did you not see this?
Did I not? I must have not been paying attention.
Which wouldn't be surprising for you.
I tune you guys out a bit.
That's true, you do. Okay, Will, can you pull up the list you made of things you need to get to prepare for this wedding? And just rattle them off one by one so Joshy can react.
Yeah, to preface this, I had some anxiety about getting everything done. It's a busy week. I'm leaving on Friday, so I wrote all of it down. We got Bloody Mary mix, vodka, golf balls, fireworks, iron suit, and get cash.
Iron suit. Oh, iron it.
He's got to iron it.
Gotcha.
You know, typically we take...
It's also not a suit.
Typically we take stuff like that to the dry cleaner. They do it for you. Yeah. You pick it up. It's all nice.
Wait, you just said it's not a suit. What is it?
It's a shirt and a blazer.
Is it mismatched from the pants?
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, are you going blue and khakis?
Yes. Or?
Okay. That's
light
fine.
Blue. Spring colors.
Light blue and khakis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. You can get away with that.
Thank you.
Did you wear your suit in here once before?
No.
Does that mean yes?
And it hasn't been laundered since you wore it here?
It may or may not be the exact same thing.
Wasn't it hanging here for like weeks?
Yeah, a couple weeks until I had graduation. I had to grab it again.
He's a one-suit guy.
What is this suit from again?
I'm a one-suit pony.
What is, it, what is this from again?
High school graduation.
And you wore it for college graduation.
You wore a suit to high school graduation, huh?
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't grow at all? You played college baseball. You didn't hit the weight room enough to like need a new one?
No, didn't you lose weight?
Yeah,
you told
it didn't
us that?
Fit me for a while, and then I lost weight after I stopped playing. So now I'm I'm back.
Back.
Basically, when you say you lost weight after you stopped playing, are we talking muscle or are we talking like chub?
A little bit of both. I definitely don't work out my legs as much anymore, which is basically all you do when you work out and train for baseball. So definitely lost some muscle in my legs, but also some chub.
Like freshman 15?
Yeah.
Did you gain that?
Yeah, I'd say so because of the meal swipes. Chicken tenders.
You're swiping
call.
For chicken teas yeah. all the time?
I'd get two chocolate milks with my cheeseburger
oh,
and fries, too.
Jesus, well. Two chocolate milks.
That was 18. What are
two sea milks, just a belly full of burger and chocolate
it's
milk.
It's got protein in it.
Yeah, they give you protein powder.
You and I are different people. I mean, dude, when I was 18, I guess I can't talk about that. All right, it's time now for One Word Wednesday. Hunter's got a list of topics, things that have happened, or maybe haven't happened. Joshie and I respond with one word, maybe more, maybe less. It's time now for One Word Wednesday, Hunter.
We start with the WIAA. I had to go here.
Miz walked the first batter.
Yeah, but he threw a couple hundred mile an hour pitches. We're fine. Everything's fine. The advisory council voted no on adding a shot clock to high school basketball.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's bad. The word's bad. The main issue I actually have with this is it was the advisory panel.
Yep.
So it didn't even make it to the executive meeting today. Right? It wasn't even put on the pedestal that it inevitably should be.
Yep.
31 states and Washington D.C. have a shot clock actively in high school basketball or have a plan to implement a shot clock by not this season but next season. 31 states and Washington D.C. It's pretty obvious which direction we're going in the United States. It's better for development. It's better for the players. This is bad by the WIAA.
My word is going to be hate. I despise everything that WIAA does. They are always on the wrong side of history. They govern and treat everything foolishly, and they move at a glacial pace. They have screwed over many, many kids, many, many teams. They're less than a year removed from putting the wrong team into the high school football playoffs, despite being told about it before releasing it and sticking with their plan. I hate them.
Yeah. In the WIAA's defense on one part of this, when it comes to rule changes, those are voted on by athletic directors and principals of the schools. They represent each of the schools for a vote. So it isn't the people up in that office in Stevens Point. It's all of the schools making decisions. I just want to make that clear for people. But that's if it was
to get to today.
The
right?
advisory because committee the advisory is panel. Administrators. This is superintendents. It was 10 of them mm-hmm. that chose not to move it forward. It was a 6-4 vote. Same vote for my next one here. They also chose to stay with a 4-team format for the state basketball tournament instead of expanding to 8 teams. Meanwhile,
I'm actually okay with this.
But the state of Minnesota literally has double the number of teams that make it to state, and they get a much better attendance and a better atmosphere for their state tournament and have a similar population to the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't an expanded format mean more money that goes
yes.
back into the programs and
yes,
okay.
they would play sectional
Wisconsin's
finals
a little bit.
At the Alliant Energy Center and the Field House. You'd get more communities coming to Madison, experiencing the state weekend. But why would we want?
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Better experience for the kids.
Definitely a better yep. experience for the kids, which is what obviously this is all about. If they have the capacity to pull it off. I'm less mad about this one, though.
I mean, they're just going to do the wrong thing.
Yep.
Wrong. When is the word wrong here?
When given the opportunity, they will consistently pick the wrong one.
The Pop-Tart mascot from the Pop-Tart Bowl is going to be in college football 26.
Toaster.
Corny.
Rules.
Saw this on the UW football TikTok account. They asked the players, if you could eat any food from a movie or TV show, what would you pick?
Krabby Patty. Two words.
Can I take the whole feast from the movie Hook in which they...
Yes.
In which they have the food fight?
Yes. That was my pick.
It's a style of... It's unclear what the food is, but it's very colorful. It looks like fun. I bet it tasted wonderful, too, because it's Never Neverland.
Yep.
It's probably my most watched movie as a child, Hook.
Really?
Yeah.
Such a good
that
movie.
And I was a big Peter Pan... Not Peter Pan. Who robs from the rich and gives to the poor?
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood. I was a big Robin Hood guy as a kid. I was born this way. I can't help it.
So it helped form your morals?
I didn't think of it that way, because if you told me to retell the story of Robin Hood, I'd struggle. But it's somewhere deeply ingrained with me.
The only other right answer other than Josh's from the food from Hook would be the pizza from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Oh, also true. Yeah, good one.
And then finally...
I was a big Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles kid.
I cried when I lost the astronaut helmet to my, I believe, my Raphael.
Action figure? Or
what? Yeah. Had a little action figure. Couldn't find his space suit helmet, and it was a bad day for me.
You think he died?
I think somebody threw it away and didn't realize what it was, and then when I came looking for it, they just pretended they didn't know.
Yep.
It's a good way to go about it.
Drew Holiday was traded from the Boston Celtics to the Portland Trail Blazers. The universe wants him in Portland.
Yeah, we kind of touched on this on Monday, but I just... It's almost comedic to me at this point. Like, that's my word.
Apron.
Yeah, true. But to give up Anthony Simons and... Damian Lillard
doing this
to ultimately acquire Drew Holiday, it's just silly to me.
Why do they keep doing this? Giving the Celtics good deals?
It's a good question. it is still the top of the first inning at AmFam Field. We have a runner on third, but two outs for Jacob Mizorowski. He has thrown 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 100-mile-an-hour pitchers already.
Yeah, he's juiced up. A little erratic. 2-2 count.
That's crazy.
We're on pace, though. It's going to happen.
Incredibly on
pace. Top of the third.
Yeah, I think that might end up being a good prediction by you.
And we're only one.
Another one?
Yeah.
We're 20 pitches in, and that's 12 100-mile-an-hour pitches.
Yep.
Jeez, man.
He looks so crazy. Awkward. Yeah. Like... Oh, I'm ahead of you guys.
Try being 6'7". How don't you look awkward?
I know.
Four-seamer 102, four-seamer 101, slider 96.
96.
So I've got the cable
slider.
Broadcast. Ooh, got him. Yeah, that thing was filthy. Like, he almost broke the guy's ankles. It was incredible.
Here comes Skeensy.
Oh, boy, here comes Skeensy. And here comes what we missed and what we learned, which is presented by Door County Distillery. Go ahead.
Just... address the fact that it's standing room only. They sold out of preferred parking. It's a Wednesday at 1.
Yeah.
The juice for this game is incredible.
It's an unbelievable
The last game. Time there was a game like this, a regular season game, is probably CC Sabathia.
Probably.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, that's how... And it's June.
And it's June, right. It's not like this game changes the outcome of the season. It's just
remarkably irrelevant to the greater scheme of the MLB season.
Correct, but it might end up being, as Will said in his report, or whatever he called it, this is the early season favorite of pitching matchup of the year, but I don't think it's necessarily the fact that it's early season. It's the favorite for a reason, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, how much do we think, I mean, Skeens is the best pitcher in all of baseball right now.
And Mizorowski is proving to maybe be in that category already.
It is the favorite for rookie of the year as we sit here right now. How much of the increased attendance is Paul Skeens, Livy Dunn, internet like phenomenon, and kids being out of school?
I'm sure it has something to do with
it. Because he's bigger, He's bigger than he is talented, and he's incredibly talented.
Yes, and he's bigger because of the Libby Dunn factor, right? I would guess it plays a role, but I don't think it's 10,000 seams.
That many seam heads?
I think there's that many seam heads, yeah. I actually have two different friends that don't know each other who I talked to last night, who both actually already had tickets to this game. One of them was on a shuttle bus and from Green Bay, and the other has had tickets since March that he got in the Quick Trip app.
Wait, we got a Salvatore so just got at very bat lucky. Here leading things off as they're coming out of break.
I see that. He's been great in the leadoff, just hasn't been great the last few nights since we've launched this campaign
but we
for
Salstar. It's not on the screen anymore, so we're fine. Everything's fine.
So he's about to take Skeen's yard.
Yeah. This thing's going to hit the lake.
Does he put 98 first pitch from Skeen ball? Does he put Wood to the ball in this at bat?
Yes.
I don't know.
He'll
Skeens
off,
might walk
at the very least.
We got a 2-0
count.
Yeah,
it's
2-0.
Yeah.
He's missed bad.
All right, time
too.
Now for what we missed, what we learned, which is presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. I love their bourbon. That's my personal favorite because I love bourbon, frankly, and it's a really good bourbon. Very tasty, very, very easy, very smooth. DoorCountyDistillery.com. You can get their gins, their vodkas. Will's looking for vodka for his Bloody Mary mix. I know what he picked up. That's Door County Distillery vodka, that big blue bottle. You can get the big green bottle of gin, rums, brandies, all the in-betweens, graduation parties, tailgates, and more. Elevate it. Door County Distillery and DoorCountyDistillery.com. All right. Well, I told you about Door County Distillery. Freelick picked up two strikes, so it's 2-2. He's totally going yard.
He fouled one off, so he did make
fouled
contact.
One off.
There you go.
Contact.
Put bat to the ball. There you go. What I learned and what I missed all in one, the NBA draft is 2 days this year.
I don't believe this is the first year they did that.
No, it is.
Is it?
It has to be.
I remember talking about this before. So maybe they announced they were going to do it, but...
Yeah, I think it's... No, it started last year. You're right.
Huh.
I guess I didn't
talk
watch
about
it last
Baltimore
year.
Over here.
I don't think I watched it last year. Who was the first pick last year?
NBA guy.
Josh was right.
What'd you do?
I said they started last year.
Oh,
gotcha. Sal Freelick walked, by the way.
Nice.
There we go. Way to go, Sal. See, we got it off the screen.
MLB.com/vote.
Is Skeens feeling it, too? Matched up against the Miz?
Well, he walked his first batter, too.
Right, I'm saying.
Oh, no, he's fine.
The pomp and...
What'd he do?
I don't want to give play-by-play, so Churio grounded into a fielder's choice. Yeah, send it right up the middle. Okay. Almost a double play. But Sal's an athlete.
That's tough.
Got there fast enough. Second baseman couldn't get the turn.
Well, good news is I'm an athlete too, and I'm going to throw a strike tonight. All right.
I do have a what
we
missed.
Well, I think that does it for us today. Oh, go ahead, Hunter.
Marquette
Trying
basketball.
To end early?
Yeah, he's got a run over for his first pitch, so he's antsy. So I'm going to make him wait a little bit more. Marquette basketball. They're putting Tom Crean up in the rafters and retiring number 22 for Jarrell McNeil and 0 for Marcus Howard. Jarrell McNeil was my favorite player of that run that they had with Wes Matthews and Lazar Hayward. But Jarrell was awesome.
So Jarrell McNeil, obviously Marcus Howard is like the record holder of every record ever at Marquette.
People talked about the Badgers, and it's accurate, have played some pretty unwatchable forms of basketball. Late stage Marcus Howard was the worst basketball I've watched in my life.
Why? Yeah. Because he just did everything? Because
it was one guy doing everything.
World, right?
And it was just the same thing over and over and over again.
Ooh, yeah.
Credit
just
to him because they were
on a curveball.
Because they were quite successful at times with him. But yeah, it was a one man. It was like a derivative of like the James Harden era we all hated.
Yeah.
It was much similar to that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Also, I learned former Packer J.C. Tretter withheld documents in a collusion case because he called Russell Wilson a wuss in it. So Pablo Torre and Mike Florio got their hands on a collusion case that was had within the NFL. An arbiter ended up finding them not guilty of collusion, but they had committed collusive acts. So it was sort of...
And J.C. Treader, so as you mentioned, the NFL, former Green Bay Packer. He was the president of the NFLPA for years.
Yes. Yes. And he withheld critical documents because in it, he had called Russell Wilson a wuss because this was over... Basically, there is a meeting that happens of all the executives where they get told, hey, don't give out veterans fully guaranteed contracts. That'd be bad. That'll like cost you guys a lot of money and could sort of hamstring you when it comes to player movement and all that stuff. Officially, it was ruled as not them not doing collusion. If you read all the details, it reads a lot like they're doing a lot of collusion, which...
Huh.
Remember the Lamar Jackson case?
Yes.
None of those teams were interested in him?
Yeah.
Would you guess there might have been some collusion happening?
I would guess so.
Well, you'd be right.
No.
Yeah. All those teams that came out and said, I'm not interested in Lamar Jackson and they don't have quarterbacks. Like, oh yeah, I wonder why.
I wonder if you guys got something going on here. Struck out Rhys Hoskins. He found it. He had lost it early, but he's locked in. This is going to be a show.
You know who's not locked in?
Hunter. Yeah. No. Skeens ain't holding up his end of the donkey. He's throwing a lot of 98.
Okay.
Bring some giddy up, brother.
Are we talking about collusion or are we talking about Paul Skeens?
I'm colluding to ruin the show.
We talk right. about everything on this show.
I'm done. We're done here. Well, good job today. You're the only one who gets a good job for me.
I can't wait That's until rude. You throw an embarrassing ball.
I'm going to throw a... paint the corner 98 mile an hour.
No, you like won't. You're going to spike it.
How hard do you think you can throw? I guess I don't know. 70.
Oh, I was going to go lower than that. I was going to say maybe 60.
I think
is that low?
It's pretty low for an adult man.
I think you could get low 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've got long enough arms. You could get the right torque. Get 65.
You're just going to see my arm. I'm going to do some cool warm-ups where like I'm bending my arm in different ways just to show off how great my arm is.
Would I be a bad person to, in the back of my mind, sort of hope you need Tommy John after?
Oh, my God. That would be such a good story.
Local radio personality has Tommy John after honorary first pitch.
After singular pitch.
Incredible. All right, we'll keep you posted on that. Make sure you're following us on social at ESPN Milwaukee, at Strofe ESPN on Instagram and TikTok, and at Alex_Strofe on Twitter. I will update you on how my first pitch goes tonight. Go Brewers. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the evening. And hope to see you at Capco Park tonight, 6:30 first pitch. Can't wait for that. Will, I'll see you tonight. Josh, Hunter, bad job today. We'll talk to you on Monday. No show on Friday. So enjoy your weekend if we don't talk to you. Joshy and I will have you for Summerfest Saturday from 12 until 3. I think Jason Wilde is going to join us this week. He was a little offended we didn't ask him last week. So Jason Wilde is going to join us on
for
Saturday.
For the Saturday
as well.
Show?
Yeah, he's going to pop on with us for a little bit on Saturday.
I figure...
I told him he needs a day off every once in a while.
It's nothing... Purity it's hops not that on I don't Saturday want scramble. Jason to join. Yeah. I just know Jason is going to say yes to every request. And I think for him and his family, it's nice to give him some time
exactly.
off.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And he got last Saturday off because we didn't ask him, but he's going to join us this week. So Josh and I will be back with you Saturday beginning at noon live from Summerfest. If you're coming to Summerfest, come say hi. If not, you can find us ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. We'll talk to you Monday. Enjoy the weekend. I'll be at Maidem Believe in Madison tomorrow. Get my first round of golf in on Friday. And then I'm spending Saturday with Josh. I can't wait for it. All right, we'll talk to you Monday. Peace.